The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
And we are 16 days away from the NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome into the draft show presented by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. We've got a great show for you today. Chuck full of draft info with Aisha Morrison, Brian Broaddus, Nick Harris, Zach Wolchuk. I'm Kyle Yeoman. 16 days away. 30 visits are wrapped up. They are done. It is over with. Now it's basically sit on your board and start looking in the right direction, Nick. This is the information gathering over. This is now time to stack your board and really make a plan going into draft weekend.
Of course you come to me to open because I just downed this entire thing of apple juice right before the show. Yeah. And I've been perfect over here. yeah, man, it's almost time, dude.
It's that time of year. You got apple juice. You got to
keep me going. This good Tropicana. Got to keep it going. But it's this time next week. We're really going to be I think the draft trade scenarios will really be starting to buzz. You know, what happens in the top five? What happens in the top 10? Who moves up to try and grab a quarterback in the top 15 in general? Man, it's going to be so much fun this time next week. And then once we get into the draft, it's nonstop for those 3 days. It's the best time of the year, Brian Broaddus.
No, it absolutely is. And now it's you've got all the information in order to put your board together. And so that's the most important thing. You'll get the coaches involved here. They've gone to some pro days. They'll have reports filed. So it's now up to Will and to Steven and to Jerry to kind of Mike McCarthy to sort out the information. You know, you got to make sure as a scout that you're not saying something that will influence the room in a way, in a negative way. Or, you know, it's you have to be very, very mindful. You have to fight for your players. You have to know when to attack, when to back up. You're not going to win every battle in there as a scout. So you have to be mindful of that. But you do have all the information. It's really super important because you do have a general manager that does not go on the road all the time. He doesn't see all these players. So your presentation will be huge, Mike McCarthy, to Will, to those guys. And then what you're going to have is those cross-checkers, the over-the-top guys, the national scouts. Everybody's going to have to be on their on point to make sure that they put the tag in the right place, but they have all the right information. And the more that you can compare these players to today, to players that maybe Jerry and Steven have seen in the past, really does them a lot of good.
Yeah, this year specifically, talking about where Jerry has been, Shrine Bowl, Senior Bowl, Combine.
Right.
Mike McCarthy, Alabama, Michigan, Notre Dame.
Exactly.
He missed out on all the big all-star events. Well, he was at East-West a little bit in Big 12 Pro Day.
Not every general manager hits all the schools. I'm not saying that against the front office at all. But I'm just what I'm saying is a scouting group, which, you know, as media scouts, this is what we do. We look but you try and present the player in a way that everybody in the room gets the absolute best picture of. And then when the film goes up, guys will make their own determination of where they have, and then how do you put that tag within the round? They're going to look at all these wide receivers, and they're going to have to sort that out. And that's going to be some of the most difficult when you got deep positions, the corners, you look at the edges are another one too. These tackles are tough. So there is going to be guys that you work longer on, and there's going to be guys that's who he is. Put the tag there in the fourth round, next guy.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're at right now. But this is a very, very important time, and the scouts have to take on that responsibility because, as we all know, this is a draft that has to fill in a lot of areas that they lost this spring.
no question. I think one of my favorite parts of this time is, yes, of course, you get the rumors, you get the trade buzz, but then you're also starting to hear about some of these names that are coming from Canada, from small schools. We talked a little bit about small schools, but this just shows you the scouts. If you're talented, they will find you. And when we've had some of these guys pop up with Giovanni Manu from British Columbia, that's been linked to several teams now that he's getting visits. We've talked about Stiggers from early in the process, and he's meeting with teams. You know, five different teams, I think, at least are scheduled to meet with him. But I think that's something that I love. Like, some of these guys that aren't from the big-name programs that we've spent the last 2 months talking about, now we can do deeper dives onto some of these unknown schools. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't even know about British Columbia.
Yeah, it's humbling. It's humbling. You're going through all your film, and you're already starting to stack your board, and somebody's like, hey.
Yeah.
Have you watched this guy?
Wait, what? Who? Where?
Like, I didn't even know this existed.
Can I find tape on this player?
Yeah, no, but to your
turn
point.
Turn your phone off.
Yeah.
Man, those, kudos to the scouts. They're always grinding.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just, I think it's humbling, and it's just funny. Just like you said, just when you get to this point, like, you think you're almost done, and it's like, hey. Just kidding. Go. Somebody else.
Got a couple more here for you.
It is a fun time because now you start to see some of these other names. We've heard the first round, second round, third round prospects, these top 100 guys for months now. You've heard about these names all the way through. So that leads me to our topic of conversation here in segment number one. I want a pet cat update. I want somebody in the day three element of the draft, rounds 4 through 7, possibly undrafted, but I think if they're a pet cat, you think they're being selected.
Can I start this thing off?
Yeah, you
absolutely.
Go. You
give
go.
Me some. Give me
no,
two
you
names.
Can't. Yes, fine.
Bow bow.
Yeah, I'll
two names that you like the best.
Yeah, I'll do one, and then I'll let somebody have their else, and maybe we could circle back around on that. But I'll give you the one guy that I really like here. I don't know if you guys have seen Dominique Hampton from the University of Washington as a safety.
Mm-hmm.
6'2", 215 pounds. He's a sixth-year player for the Huskies.
I watched him.
Played 57 games for this guy in his career. It's most all-time in Husky history. And there's some elements to his game that I really, really like. At 6'2", 215, this is an explosive, plays well with his eyes. He'll take some strange angles on you every once in a while, and the body control could be a little out of whack. But he's got extremely long arms. He can deal when he has to cover. He can deal with guys with those contested catches. He knocks balls down. He tends to play a little flat-footed at times, which causes some issues. But the communication, the pre-snap stuff with his guys, with his teammates, what he sees to feel well, he's got really good instincts.
Yes.
You can count on him to play coverage well underneath, and you can count on him to knock somebody out the way he plays. So, Dominique Hampton, 6'2", 215, safety from the University of Washington, is a guy I'd like to consider there in the fourth round.
Can I comment on him a little bit?
Go for it.
Yeah, I actually put in my notes, like, I know you mentioned him playing flat-footed, but when you see him coming downhill, he's not afraid to come downhill and help in the run game.
Yeah.
And when he comes down, he's tackling with some force.
Right.
I also said that he has a hunter-like demeanor. You can see just kind of how he looks like he's stalking his prey when he's kind of looking at everything.
I like this. Yeah.
Yeah, he has some chip. He has a lot of chippiness to his game, but he covers a lot of ground with his long strides because of he's rangy, he's lengthy.
Yep.
I watched him the other day, and I was impressed with him. You know, like you said, some of the angles and stuff can improve, but the temperament of the player is important to me, and I think he can process at a high level.
I appreciate that cross right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another safety. I'll throw another safety in there then. And you guys know I love Javon Bullard from Georgia, but his running mate, Tyke Smith, also from Georgia. Now, he's a little bit short. Both of them are. I mean, Smith, 5'10", 202. But this dude led Georgia in tackles for loss, interceptions. He was a transfer from West Virginia. But you talk about, so that's what made me think, like, okay, sounds a little bit like Smith. That's stalking your prey. He's really good downhill. I love watching him around the line of scrimmage. But he also will travel some, can line up, play the slot for you. I think he's got good range. I think he's really good covering underneath when it comes to drag routes. He stays on the hip pocket of the receiver. He's able to kind of disrupt the routes with his physicality a little bit. The weakness here would be obviously the length, the height could be a deterrent to some teams. Also, hips at times can be a little stiff for me, right? When he's got a turn, run, flip, go cover, I don't want him as a single high safety back deep. I don't think he's a true free, but I do love his ability to come up. He's really good at shedding blocks, being able to navigate around blocks. He's kind of like a linebacker playing in a safety's body. So Tyke Smith, if you need a safety day three, fourth, fifth round, I think he's a guy that the team's going to get some good value on, and he's a good special teamer.
And you've got him as a Senior Bowl guy, too.
Yeah.
He played well throughout the week at the Senior Bowl and did some good things there, despite some of the length limitations. He was only a three-star coming out of school.
Sure.
He was only a three-star.
Went
to
West Virginia.
Comes to Georgia.
And then transferred.
Yeah. He had the production at West Virginia that allowed him to go to Georgia and play in the SEC. But that's the kind of guy that is under the radar from a recruiting standpoint. Then you get to another level and you right. say, oh, gosh, he can actually play. He can actually do this thing. And then, so yeah, I whenever I looked at him, I didn't look at a ton. I only watched one game of him, but five, or I put like a borderline fifth round pick.
Yeah.
It's kind of,
I got a fifth round grade on him.
Yeah. What do you think?
So I mentioned a lot of day three pet cats over the course. So I'm going to try to give you a different one, because I've mentioned the Jalix Hunts and the Isaiah Davis and the Isaac Garendos and all so on and so forth.
Oh,
but I'll
Garendo.
Give you a – I love him, man.
Watch out for Mr. Hunt from Houston Christian. We're going to have him on Building the Board this week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun stuff.
Oh, I'm jelly.
Also mentioned Hunter Norzad as well.
Yeah, Hunter Norzad. Matt Lee, center from Miami.
Yeah.
I think that's another guy you and I both like a lot. Absolutely.
We're going to just start naming guys until like you run out of
I just wanted to name the guys that I've already covered, and that's why I'm not mentioning them here in this segment. I wanted to bring a different name to the table. So I'm going to talk about Tyrese Knight from UTEP, linebacker. Talk about a tackling machine. This is,
yes.
I think, when you get a guy out in space who needs to make a one-on-one tackle, this is a guy that can do it, and he can do it at the NFL level, in my opinion. Accounted for 140 tackles last season for the mm-hmm. Miners out in El Paso. And he gets it done in pass covers, too. Six pass deflections. Had two interceptions during his time at UTEP. But he can rush the passer as an off-ball linebacker. And I think it's really interesting what he brings from a schematic standpoint, because you can do so many things with him. You can have him crash down and be able to cover the run, attack the backfield, or you can let him step back in coverage and be able to disrupt the middle of the field. He does those things very well. I think the one thing that he's probably going to have to overcome at the next level, or maybe not overcome, but just get better at, is his instincts aren't always there in pass coverage. Sometimes he'll get kind of lost in zone, and a guy will kind of come over the top of him a little bit and be able to kind of break off on a pass. That happened in one of the games against UTEP last season. I'm forgetting which one that I noticed that in. But regardless, I think him as a run defender, man, it's really fun. I think this is a guy that you could look at on in the sixth round if the Cowboys haven't found yeah. their linebacker mm-hmm. yet. This is a guy that I really stand on the table for. Had a really productive 4 years at UTEP. Nearly 100 tackles in 2022 and then had 101 in 2021. So we're looking at, gosh, over nearly 300 tackles over the course of the last three, or well over 300 tackles over the course of the last three seasons.
Love it.
Really productive guy out there.
I'd play this guy on the weak side and let him run.
Yeah.
The one thing that he does, he plays with a burst. And there's closing quickness to his game when you watch him. And, you know, I think he had the second most reps at the combine at 21 for
wow.
the linebacker. So,
yeah.
you know,
he's
this
powerful.
Yeah, high IQ guy. I love everything that Nick said about this guy. I mean, he's got some juice to his game. But like I say, put him on the weak side, let him go. He's going to get to that ball.
And he was a part of the Independence Community College ball club. He's a junior college product that made the jump to UTEP. He was actually featured for a split second on The Last Chance U, by the way, the Netflix series.
Oh, that's
for
right.
A hot second.
Yes.
Yeah, whenever Indy was there.
When you've always got to look at players that are really good players on bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands out.
He
and does. That's, you know, that's one of those things. If he is playing hard when his team's down 30-something mm-hmm. points, those are the kinds of guys you want.
UTEP had some guys on that defense that were pretty fun. Tyrese Knight was one of them, of course, like you said. But then, like, Praise Amawale was an edge rusher that I think comes out next year. A couple guys that are decent on that team. What else you got? Aisha, you got some pet cats in day three?
Yeah, I got one. Noticed him at the Shrine Bowl and just, well, first of all, he had that crazy return. Anthony Gold, wide receiver out of Oregon State.
Mm. Oh, my gosh, speed for
represent
days.
For the short Trials. Kings and queens out here. Yeah.
He was fun in practice.
Yeah, he was fun in practice. But the thing that stands out to me is just the ability to separate and just how clear the separation is when he's doing it. Like, obviously, the size is a concern to a lot of people, just him being 5'8", like 175. But I do think he can be a contributor on an offense if you want to move him in. in and have him do some things in the slot. He plays with some toughness. Also, too, you know, the return ability is through the roof as well. He can see it and go. And with this, I do think there might be an emphasis on grabbing some guys who have some return ability in this draft because of the rule changes, and that actually seeming like it may be a factor in this game to get these offenses some shorter yards to operate. He'll do that for you. He'll cut the field in half really quick for you, even if he isn't contributing right away on the receiving side.
He was so shifty in practice. He like you said, short.
Yeah. Short kick.
Short but receivers. Speed. But, man, he's fast. And he's got the return ability. Didn't he return the punt for a kick, for a touchdown in the Shrine Bowl?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got some different elements to it as well that I really do like. I'll throw a name out there. Isaiah Adams, offensive tackle from Illinois.
You mentioned him last week. He's a cat. He's a real cat for you.
Did I bring him up? I do like him.
Talk about him. No, talk about him.
Great vision awareness. Loves to work to the second level. Wants to finish his blocks, and you can see it on film. Illinois team that ran the football a lot last year. I talked about his testing never really lived up to the hype. Definitely a big project for an offensive lineman.
He's a guard.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a guard. I don't really love him at tackle.
Because I don't want him out on an island. I said appears to be better at guard with the body of a tackle is kind of the way it was. Exactly. His footwork isn't necessarily there, but I do like the way he can pull, he can hit, he runs downhill, he's always looking for work. He's a two-time All-Big Ten honoree, and he was one of the best Canadian-born players in college football is the way I put it out there. So I forgot that I mentioned him last week, so I'll move on. But
no,
I do like Isaiah Adams a lot.
No, yeah, I was just pointing out that he's really a cat of yours. That's all.
He is a pet cat.
Got good power in his lower half.
No shaming
here. Let's
say
they don't take an interior offensive lineman in the first couple rounds. Dallas goes away from that. No Jackson Powers Johnson. No Cooper Beebe. No Graham Barton. I know those are all the names that Zach Wolchuk loves so much. You don't get any of those guys.
Talking my language.
And you get into the fifth round and you're looking for a guy up front, I think he'd be a great name.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, I like Isaiah Adams. A name that I've seen like go fourth round, and this dude needs to go day two, I don't understand this, is Austin Booker, the edge from Kansas.
What's going on here?
I think it's probably just the lack of experience. Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing. He's going to have to grow at the next level.
But I take a chance on him
in
absolutely.
The third round.
Absolutely. Because in an edge class where I think there's a bunch of questions, like for me, I mean, I was watching
edge
him.
Edge six, by the way.
Yeah, I think Austin Booker is a dude.
I think the lack of bulk hurts him.
He is skinny.
That's the problem with, I think, people are, you know, he started his career at Minnesota.
He did. He transferred.
And so, you know, there's times where you see him lower his head. I know I watched the Kansas State game where he lowered his head and just kind of carried the tackle back. And then he's kind of dipping guys and stuff like that. I think the lack of bulk is a problem for him.
Long, skinny build was the first thing in my notes. But he's got great burst. Well, and you do see him get fatigued at times. I will say that's a little bit of a knock that I put in my notes.
And let me keep this in mind, too. They worked him as a linebacker at the combine. Now, when I say that, these are the drills you don't see. When they get finished with the actual workout, teams will request that some players go and work in other positions. And Austin Booker, they worked him out as a linebacker. So teams might be looking at him more as a linebacker than an edge.
Well, he's got great instincts in the run game. So I could see that. I mean, that dude, I think the eyes are something that's a strength for him. But
how much
I had to give him some love.
240.
So he could work as a linebacker.
Yeah, and he's big. I mean, you got like a 6'6 frame on that guy.
6'5, 240 with the combine numbers.
Yeah.
Lanky.
Yeah. Did anybody see, anybody watch this corner from Washington State? And he's got a funny first name, Chow Smith Wade.
Yeah, you were talking Chow to me Smith about Wade. Him yesterday.
Is that you say Chow?
Yeah, Chow Smith Wade. He's doing a lot of work here in Frisco, actually, during the draft process, working with some of the corner trainers out here. But I had a decent outing at the Senior Bowl whenever he was out there in Mobile. Wasn't the best week. He had gotten cooked pretty bad on a ball from Ladd McConkey, but then he bounced back the next day and had a couple of really good reps against Jamari Thrash and Roman Wilson. But I feel like he's a boomer bust type guy, but I want to see him at nickel. I think
that's why I brought him up, because this is where he's not the biggest guy. He's 5'10", he's 184. And, you know, anything, the majority of his work is on the outside, and he doesn't have great testing numbers, but you watch him play, he's got these incredibly quick feet, and it's hard to move him or turn him. And I kind of feel like that maybe this is one of these guys out there in the West that we're just not really talking about very much, because I think he could be a nickel for somebody. Yeah. Just the way that he's a hard guy, you can't run away from him. He's got the quickness. The, I mean, the just the strength of his game, that's what it is. And I could see somebody saying, okay, this guy is going to be a nickel only and probably have a pretty decent career doing it.
Yeah. So, what else you got, Aisha? You got another prospect?
We're talking about late day three,
or just day three in general.
Yeah. There was a gentleman that I noticed at the Shrine Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. His name is Steel Chambers. Mm-hmm. I think if you're looking for a special teams ace, this is the guy.
Linebacker Ohio State?
Yeah, linebacker Ohio State, rather.
That's yes. Thick as a bowl of oatmeal.
Yeah.
Right there.
Why are you saying that?
He is, though.
Yeah. He's
filled out.
Yeah. And also, too, I think he was at the Shrine Bowl, and we had the opportunity to meet him and kind of talk to him a little bit. You talk about the instincts and things like that, him coming downhill. I don't know, like, how much someone maybe is going to like him as just, like, a true linebacker to start. I do think he needs to develop some of his vision and his processing. However, if you want a special teams, what you call a special teams demon, like, I mm-hmm. think if you're looking for an ace, if you're looking for, you know, to go ahead and shore up that spot, I wholeheartedly believe he will take that on the chin and be that ace like a C.J. Goodwin for, you know, however many years you allow him to do that. Like I said, I think he does have some upside in developing as a true linebacker. The speed stands out, you know, just how he's able to go sideline to sideline. But the way he comes downhill, and he's also, too, he's a hell of a personality, y'all. I don't know if y'all know, but he is. He's, like, bandana on, shades on, like, yeah. Locker room.
He's got some swag.
Locker room favorite, very well-liked amongst his teammates and things like that. But I'm starting to look at who are guys that can help you on special teams right away, and which is what a lot of teams are looking for if those guys are in the later rounds. And this is a guy that I think can do that right away.
Okay, I'm scrolling through here, and I'm just looking at players, and I'm trying to find names. Like, I don't think we've talked about a ton. Mm-hmm. This is another guy. I think he's more of a third-round player. Now, the rest of the league, actually, don't draft him. Let him slide to day three,
please,
and the Cowboys can go ahead and snag him. But Jerrion Jones, the corner from Florida State.
Yeah.
Like,
he's getting a lot of love.
Yeah, because, Brian, you talked about, like, slot corners.
Yeah.
He might be arguably in the conversation for the best for me. Energizer Bunny. Type of player is
Talk
what I've got for this
it.
Guy. I mean, he got the Bobby Bowden Leadership Award as well, so you know he's a good character guy. Played his freshman year at Mississippi State, then transferred to FSU in 2020. Has some wide receiver ability in his background in high school, but anticipation, burst, downhill, tackles well in open space. Had three pick sixes as well at Florida State. So this is a dude, you get the ball in his hands, he is looking to make a house call, but he's all over the field. I mean, he had one game, he had a tackle for loss, forced fumble, fumble recovery, and an interception. First player in Florida State history to do that. There was a guy by the name of Deion Sanders that played at Florida State as well. They've got a pretty damn good history of DBs. Jerrion Jones is the only Seminole to do that. He is a player I would stand on the table for and be like, if he slips day three, I don't think he will. He's probably going to go in the third round. Maybe some people want to go ahead and snag him higher, but I would argue for Jerrion Jones. He's a big-time player.
It'd be a fun one. Yes. Anybody else before we move on to our second segment? We go to Twitter on the 20.
I've seen some love for Evan Anderson out of Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
And I've given him more of a deeper watch. Man, if you want a wide body at One Tech, this is a guy that I think you can go grab in the fifth or sixth round and have some fun with. 6'3", 356 pounds. And, man, South Florida through and through. Mm-hmm. This is gonna trigger some people. A little slow on his get off, but I think there is just some learning that he can do at the next level. Obviously, he's not a day one starter, but I think he's a guy that can come in and you just use that size. I mean, that size is so useful at the next level, especially if you can just pair that with a little bit of athleticism. And I think Evan Anderson has that.
Love it. Lots of day three prospects to sift through, and we'll continue to do so as we move on. But when we come back, we're going to go into some Twitter on the 20. We've got a ton of great questions from draft fans out there. When we return with more of the Draft Show right after this.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie Bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite, taste you can depend on. The segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas, and it's time now to talk to the best fans in the land. Some NFL draft questions during some
Twitter on the 20.
A little bit delayed on the firing there, but we're close. We're getting there. Almost draft time. We got this. All right, first question. This one comes from Ben, and I really like this because it's a different thought process. What is your favorite off-the-field fun fact about a certain prospect in this NFL draft? It could be anything off the field. We hear all about the on-field traits and all of that thing, but what's the best fun fact of a guy that you've learned about throughout this draft process to this point?
This is an interesting one. I'm going to start with Rasheen Ali out of Marshall. Golden Glove boxer as a kid. Use it in pass protection. You can kind of see it. He didn't start playing football until his senior year of high school. He was a boxer his entire childhood.
So like into his teenage years.
Yeah, big time boxer. So I found that pretty fascinating.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know if that's my favorite. That was just the first one that popped to mind.
I feel like it is kind of a tough question. We're in like scout mode.
Yeah. There's so much information in my brain.
It is a tough one. We can move on if we need to. That's a good one to start off
with,
though. Man,
that is interesting, though.
If you think of one throughout Twitter on the 20,
I'm going through my
that.
Notes to try and see, what's a good thing I've got.
If you
here.
Think of one at some point throughout the process.
Can I throw out a second one?
Go for it.
Okay. Junior Colson, linebacker out of Michigan. Graham Barton out of Duke.
Yeah.
High school teammates.
What?
They both are from Brentwood, Tennessee. Went to, I'm blanking on the school right now. Raven something Academy.
Ravenclaw.
Yeah. It's not Ravenclaw.
Oh, my God.
Ravenclaw versus Gryffindor in District 6-5A.
10 points for Ravenclaw.
I think it's Ravenwood, but Junior Colson grew up in Haiti, didn't move to the United States until he was 9 years old. His parents both passed away as a kid and was adopted by the Colsons out in Brentwood, Tennessee, and ended up learning football and growing there in Brentwood, and then ran into Graham Barton, and they were high school teammates, and
that's
who knows?
Awesome.
Who knows? Maybe they end up on the same NFL team.
Yeah. All right, like I said, if you have any more fun facts, those are two really good ones. Thanks, Nick, for carrying this segment. I really appreciate it. If we have one come up during the middle of
glad
it,
we have
throw it out
that's
there.
That's the
high school recruiting background.
Yeah.
Throw it out there. All right, Phillip says, what are the chances that Tavondre Sweat drops in the draft? Would you take him in the third round? If so, it's kind of a touchy subject with the DWI that Tavondre Sweat suffered or was booked on this past weekend. And you hate to hear this scenario from a draft prospect at any point, but Dane Brugler pointed it out on Twitter that this was a concern for teams. This was a
Absolutely.
Talking point for teams, Brian.
Yep.
How does it affect his draft stock, and how does it move? How do teams move forward here?
I think there's some teams that clearly didn't have him at a high level to begin with. I think there were some
because of those questions.
Just because of the questions about his partying, his things like that. How much does he really care? Is it important to him and all that? So there were teams that and teams dig in a lot more than we get to. You know, we just get to watch the tape. The tape is really good. He plays hard on Saturdays. We appreciate that. But there's teams that dig into personalities. They dig into interviews. They dig in. They ask other, you know, other people at the organization questions about the guy. And I talked to four scouts the other day that thought that he could drop out into the fourth round. Mm. Wow. That there's some teams that have him off the board.
That's mm-hmm. wild.
And it's just not because of what happened the other day. It's just that they do not want to deal with somebody that big. And does he not care? And is it only going to get worse once he gets into an environment where it's, you know, where he has that opportunity to be out and about and stuff like that? Again, that's not me. That's guys sure. around the league that you talk to that put these boards together. And so, but this was, like I said, some of these thoughts were even before what happened to him this past weekend.
Yeah, the context that I had picked up before this happened this past weekend was more so work ethic issues.
Yes.
I hadn't really mm-hmm. heard a ton about off the field problems as right. far as partying and things of that nature, even though from what Dane said, he was very upfront about that and yeah. the fact that he was doing those things in his underclassmen years. But what I had heard was responsibility, being on yeah. time, being at the field, maintaining a diet, and that didn't all really come together for him until this past season. So he's going to have those questions to answer as well, I think, as time goes on. And it just depends on how comfortable a team feels with bringing him in and being able to change his lifestyle up a little bit.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys that we had heard the whispers of, like, okay, he likes to hit up the frat parties every once in a while. It is going to be interesting. I mean, he might have been one of those guys before this happened where he starts dropping and we're looking around like, what's going on? And it's because of that. Teams knew about this and they had already wiped him off the board. I think that I've heard some whispers about his Texas teammate, maybe Adonai Mitchell as well, could be one of those guys that he's got some stuff that's going on quietly behind the scenes. Not quite the same related, but another guy that, you know, teams might be a little bit scared to jump on him early. But I think absolutely, if he's there in the fourth round, the risk reward to me, the talent's there, I would jump on that player. And I do think that's probably the round. I initially thought maybe the third. I'd even consider that as well, depending on who's on the board. But I don't think that would scare me off necessarily about taking T-Sweat. I think the Cowboys have proven they've got a great support staff here to help players like that, and they will take risks when it comes to some of those.
Well, unfortunately, Zach, we don't have a fourth-round pick. So
well, we're trading back.
But. Not yet.
So with that being said, John asked the question, what's the highest 2025 draft pick that you would use to get another pick in this year's draft? How high would you go to make it happen and to maybe secure a fourth round pick or maybe another couple selections
at
along the way?
At this point, second round has whooped this team's ass.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the second round where it's just,
unlucky.
Like, unless a guy falls to them in the way, like a Trayvon Diggs, which is like, he was like, why the hell is this guy still here? Mm-hmm. It's the second round is really teed them up. So at this point, because I don't understand, what is y'all's theology on why the second round has been a difficult round for a while now?
I think they've had some really bad luck with injury too.
That's
with
fair.
Medical.
That's absolutely fair.
I think
fair
that
as
they've
well.
Taken some chances on some players. They have a history here of doing this, and I was part of that history too, where you get into a mode where it's like you see a player and you put him on the board for where you think his value is. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a Jalen Smith. They thought this is what Jalen Smith is as a player. They say they put him in the first round, and all of a sudden they get in the second round, and now it's like we got to take this player, right? Mm-hmm. Or we have to. You know, or there's others, Bruce Carter,
Sean Lee.
Yeah, there were others mm-hmm. that the value of the player was too much
to not take him.
Randy Gregory.
Yeah. I would trade up. I would use a two to go. If Fuaga gets to you some in that level, maybe I'm being a little too ambitious here. But if somehow he falls, he's the one guy that I would trade up for, I think, in this draft. Other than that, I don't think I would trade up for anybody right now. I would let that thing fall to me and see how it happens. But if I could go out and get maybe one or two of the best offensive tackles in this draft, now maybe I see Fuaga different. I don't know how you guys see him, but I think he's going to be a really, really, really good player.
Yeah, I agree.
And to me, you know, maybe some teams think, oh, he can only play this way, and you got to play him at guard, and you got to do this. I just watched the tape; it's just too good. So he would be the only guy that I think that I would consider consider trading up for. Because I think if you look at the wide receiver depth and all that, you know, Neighbors, Harrison, Adunze, Thomas, all those guys, it's a deep draft at wide receiver.
Sure
I don't think I have to move up. But if I want to go get who I think the best offensive tackle is with him and Alt from Notre Dame, mm-hmm. that's where I'm going.
On the flip side, let me ask you a scenario. 24, you have the option of trading back. For me, if Graham Barton is not on the board, I'm trading back. Is there any other player that you feel the same way about?
Powers Johnson's that way for me.
Powers Johnson, I respect
that. Yeah, and that's – and I, you know, I was talking to some people around the league once again about this, and they all believe that Dallas is going to take one of these centers. Mm-hmm. That teams are planning on Dallas taking Barton or Powers Johnson.
I think you might need to move up to go get Barton.
I think Barton's going to be gone.
I think Barton's a guy that it's now kind of starting to even out where initially, you know, we talked a lot about Graham Barton, then here comes Powers Johnson with a kick-ass Senior Bowl, right? And now we're starting to hear, okay, you got the injury knocks on Powers Johnson. Graham Barton, I mean, I think you just had Kiper talking. He can go in the top 16 picks.
Yeah.
He's a guy, if you want him, you might have to go ahead and give up a two for next year and go up and go get him. You guys know I'd be in on that. I mean, I think he is one of the top four offensive linemen, period, in this draft. I love the dude. Yeah. So I'd be open-minded to that, and I'm very open-minded to Fuaga if he's slid as well. I saw a couple times he's sliding kind of that 20 range. I think you're definitely thinking, ooh, maybe we should go up and go ahead and take that talent.
We still, you said we can say the weird thing about a
yes,
player.
Yes, fun facts. Yeah.
Carson Steele, running back out of UCLA, had a pit alligator for a lot.
Oh, that's crazy.
How does that factor in his running style? What does this mean for his, what does this mean for LeBron's legacy?
What does it mean for LeBron?
Please. And then, my homie Matt Owen said, Kamani Vidal's related to who's Hank Aaron?
Baseball player.
Okay, wait. Oh.
Yes.
The number two home run hitter of all time.
Don't do me like that. I don't know baseball.
Yesterday was his anniversary.
Anniversary 715 yesterday.
Shout out to Matt Owen. Thank you.
You're counting Barry Bonds? A lot of people don't.
I am counting Barry. Yeah.
We'll count him.
Steroid era of baseball.
He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he's got the record.
Okay. Yeah. It's true. That's a controversial topic.
I'm not going to say that. I think it's still impressive that he hit 707. I could not hit 780 home runs with or without steroids.
See, I'm trying to find something weird, like we found out Jared Walsh of the Rangers has never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in his life.
I heard y'all say that.
That is crazy to me. You know, which of these quarterbacks was it that's never had steak? It was the Washington guy that just left. Sam Howell, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sam Howell.
He never had a steak in his life. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the ones for me. I'm like, I need to find some food ones here.
If you have those, our internet draft scouts that listen to the show and that are always on the show, send them out. Let us know. Yeah. And also send a bio information for Hank Aaron so that way we can give that to Aisha and make sure that she's caught up.
Y'all leave me alone.
Is there any besides Barton and Fuaga that you guys would trade up for?
To take draft capital? To do so, probably not.
I don't believe so. You look at those two, you would have to do it for a position of need, and I think those are the only two guys that you could start seeing slip outside of the top 12 that you can go out and grab. I think guys like Joe Alt will be gone.
Yeah.
Olu Fashanu, I'm not trading up for him.
No, me neither.
So, yeah.
Only a skill player?
I'd consider it for Fashanu. I love that guy.
Matt asked the question, give me your best day two fit to replace Michael Gallup at the X.
Day two fit.
We're talking second or third round guys here. I'll tell you what.
Okay. The more I think about Malachi Corley in this offense, the more I start thinking it could be some fun, man. Mm-hmm. He's got those thick thighs that you can line up out of the backfield to be able to hand the ball off 3-4 times a game. Line him up inside, line him up outside, give him the ball in space.
He's not really a Michael Gallup replacement.
Yeah, no, if you're talking like a big body, is that what you're wanting here?
I think that's what he's wanting.
Okay, then let me.
That was my Leggett number one.
From South Carolina. Leggett. I think Javon Baker also comes
McMillan
to mind.
McMillan from Washington.
McMillan, I love. And McMillan, to me, I don't think he's just an X. I think McMillan, you can play at all three spots.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is so smooth as a player, the route runner. I mean, he's got a little Rashee Rice to his game, if you want to be honest, the way he plays. So if you like that, he'll catch traffic.
The contested catches.
Concentration's good. He covers ground. I mean, yeah.
In traffic, he's fast.
Yeah, I love Jalen McMillan.
Takes contact well.
An absolute stud.
Y'all crazy, man.
What about Cephas if you wanted to go late?
Oh, yes.
That's a late
Joshua Cephas, UTSA, 6'3", 185. Just thinking body type.
There's a lot of off the field stuff there. A lot of off the field.
Yeah, the DWIs
in
college. I mean, that's kind of a similar conversation, I guess, with Sweat, but that's why you could get him day three, not necessarily a second round dude.
Sure.
I mean, I'm looking at trying to wait on receiver as long as I can with how this stretches.
I liked you mentioned Javon Baker just in passing.
Yeah, Baker with I think is a big time comp.
Have we talked about Devontae Walker from North Carolina before?
Not really, not much.
I'm not as high on Walker as others are.
Why is that?
To me, I just don't.
Quarterback play was a struggle.
Yeah, well, I know you're anti-Drake May. I just think it was more so the love Walker was getting as like a possible 1-2 type of guy. Like, could he possibly be in the first round conversation? I don't see that.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a third round type of player. If you're getting him in that range, then that's fine with me. But I just, when you're stacking him up against some of the other receivers in this class, like even a Pearsall from Florida or the guys that we, like Jalen McMillan, I would take a heartbeat over him. Jalen Polk out of Washington, I think also might be a better prospect for me.
I would take Polk over.
I think there's just receivers. It's not necessarily a Tez Walker knock.
Yeah.
There's players that I just like that I have ahead of him.
I whenever you talk about speed and size, he doesn't have like overwhelming size.
No.
That's not what it is. And his length is not there.
Yeah.
But he has the speed to separate.
He does.
And
he can stack.
And he has the big play effect to where he can run to open space. He has good route ability. Limited route tree, but whenever he was utilized in a couple different areas, he would use the arm of Drake May to his advantage. I mean, I was looking at a stat the other day, average of 30-plus yards on his touchdown receptions. That's an average.
Yeah.
Not one or two of over 30 yards. His average was 30 yards, which means big play threat down the field. And he's playing against the ACC. It's not like he's playing against future accountants over on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage. He's playing against legitimate defensive backs, and he's torching them over the top.
Long strider, tracks the ball well. I mean, he's a good job working back to the quarterback. Drake May's going to scramble, run around some.
Yeah.
So he did a good job in that area of it. But body control, size, I can see that if you're looking for a Michael Gallup replacement.
Yeah,
I mean, and by replacement, I think my mind went to equivalent. I think I want a little bit more, just a little bit more explosiveness, just a tad bit. I mean, I know that things changed towards the end for Michael Gallup, but what did y'all think about Bub Means from Pittsburgh?
I loved him.
Whenever you talk about the MG, I think about the ability to high point the ball, the concentration, stuff like that. I noticed that with Bub, it's not a whole bunch of wasted movement in his stuff as well. He stacks pretty well. Again, not super bursty, but he has a suddenness to how he separates. Really can attack the middle of the field and in the red zone. I put red zone as well here. Is that like, yeah. And I think he displays patience sitting in zones as well. He has some foot quickness to him. If they did decide to go later and you're looking for a red zone threat, kind of a bigger body guy to box out and high point the ball, he can do that as well. But means out of Pittsburgh.
That's a good call. He had the second most contested catches in the ACC, if you look at him. And then he had five of his receiving touchdowns were 20-plus yards, if you want to talk about down the field.
Deep threat.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Brian.
He will he'll make some unreal circus catches, too. 6'1", 212, that's a good body right there.
Yeah.
I think he'll need some work on the route running part of it, but he's got a natural feel for how to play this game. His best football might be ahead of him.
I agree. That's okay, you talk about that.
Luke McCaffrey?
I was waiting for Brian. I couldn't believe you didn't mention
McCaffrey,
him. He can play, dog.
We probably are just like
– He can play.
He's late. But, yeah, he's awesome. And you talk about contested catches. This dude's not dropping any balls. He's fearless over the middle. Yes, he's kind of just learning how to play receiver, but that means to me – sky's the limit for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's a doubt that Luke McCaffrey is not going to be a stud baller whenever he gets into the NFL level.
Is this a Bronny and LeBron situation where if you draft Bronny, you get LeBron? Can we draft Luke and then also automatically get Christian McCaffrey?
I know
too?
CMC is probably recruiting.
Can we make something happen like that?
To go ahead and take his brother.
What
I mean,
guys,
yeah, maybe.
He's going to end up in the fourth. I think he's going to.
You think so?
I think he's
absolutely.
End up
it wouldn't surprise me.
I'm not surprised by that. What do you guys have? Ricky Pearsall.
Third round.
He should probably be a second round player, to be honest with you.
Why would you? Would you take a Ricky Pearsall?
Yeah, I would
absolutely would.
Yeah. As a Michael Gallup person?
Talk about throwing it up and relying on a guy to come down with it.
That's what came to mind.
I would take
a
Ricky Pearsall, absolutely.
That's what came to mind.
Hand him the ball.
Guy.
I mean, there's so many. This guy is such a high IQ player when you watch him play.
He's going to be there.
I mean, he makes people miss in space.
Does.
He does. I mean, The quarterback is just all over the place at Florida. And so Graham Mertz or some of the Wisconsin
guy.
Yeah, so Pearsall is having to make, like, every catch is an adjusting catch.
Exactly.
Every catch. And so, to me, somebody's going to grab this guy, and when they do, I'm gonna go off on like a 5-minute rant of how good of a pick that was for that team.
It'll probably be Baltimore.
I have yet to
find. Kansas City's gonna end up with this guy.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Throw up.
I have yet to find a highlight play more impressive than that one-hand grab one-hand that
catch.
He had against
Charlotte. That's the best
Charlotte.
Catch of the draft.
Catch. I think it's the best of the draft process for sure. Yeah. Unreal.
All right, let's take our second break. When we come back, we've got some quarterbacks to talk about. And we're not talking about the top guys. We're not talking about the best quarterback in this draft, Michael Penix Jr. We're talking about some of the other guys. I'm just kidding.
We can't talk Penix?
We can if we want to. If you want to. All right, we'll be back with more quarterback talk and more the draft show when we come back.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into 2 new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in 2 new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com draft show.
Back here on the draft show, come out to the Star in Frisco for Dallas Cowboys draft weekend presented by Miller Lite. The party starts on Thursday, April 25th at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy live draft coverage, player appearances, live performances, and a whole lot more. Friday, come back for draft night out with alumni and DCC appearances at Miller Lighthouse. Then finish strong on Saturday with the Draft Day 5K presented by Baylor Scott and White Health. For more info, visit DallasCowboys.com/draft. I want to remind you, you can get your hard copies and your digital copies of the Dallas Cowboys Star Magazine Draft Guide. Of course, Nick Harris did a phenomenal job in it. Yeah, he's pointing to it right there.
He's so proud.
Yeah, very nice job. We had contributions from really our entire team to get this done. Really cool stuff. Yeah, you've got scouting reports from Nick. You've got Patrick Walker with a feature. Another feature from Jeff Sullivan. Nick Harris wrote a feature about Quantez Stiggers in there as well.
Nice.
So lots to look forward to. Get your draft guide now, DallasCowboys.com/star. Back here, final segment of the show. And we haven't talked a ton about quarterbacks. Quarterbacks have been kind of the under the radar, and for good reason. Dallas has already spent their 4th-round pick on a quarterback this year, Trey Lance, in that trade earlier in the campaign. So quarterback has really been off the market for this team. But since we're a draft show that talks more about the draft than they do specifically about the Cowboys, I want to talk about some of these other quarterbacks, not the Caleb Williams, the Drake Mays, the Michael Penix, the Jaden Williams, or Jaden Daniels, and the J.J. McCarthys of the world. Who are some of the guys that you have your eyes on, Aisha, looking at the quarterback position?
All right, so he's not going to mull over well with everybody because he's not that big. But
Tua's
brother.
Yes. Tagovailoa. Was impressed with just his comfort level at the Shrine Bowl and just how he was able to get in there and connect with some of these guys. And he, again, like you talk about the size, he's only like 5'11", if I'm not mistaken. He's not the biggest. But I think he does have a little bit of that gamer to him. And then you talk about also, too, the ability to escape, make plays on the run, mm-hmm. and things like that. That's something that offenses do value. He was trying to go back to school, if I'm not mistaken, but his eligibility mm-hmm. was up. So that also tells you he also has played a considerable amount of football. Now, I think his 2021 season was his best season, his most steady season. He's going to take some risks. He's going to make some mistakes. But I do think if you do need a good backup to come in, we talked about it last year. Teams are looking for guys who have some experience. Yeah. He has some experience. I think that he could come in, and if you need a player to do some things for you for a couple games, you know, hold you over, he got it. And he has some pop in his game. He's not a boring guy to watch. He can make plays on the run with his legs. Some of the accuracy and stuff can improve. But, yeah,
the Shrine Bowl performance was very impressive with him. I mean, he definitely showcased his ability to make plays on the run and create. I think I would probably lean – I think my guy, like Aiden O'Connell last year, I liked a lot. I think Michael Pratt probably
is my guy.
And we both liked Aiden O'Connell last year too.
Yeah.
But it fits the mold, Brian, that we've talked about with – 4-year starter, 3-year team captain, lot of experience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does he have elite arm strength? No, but the decision making's good. I think he's got good touch. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a guy that can come in and at worst case is a backup for you, that can be reliable, I think Michael Pratt definitely fits that.
I said productive and clean. Pratt's ability to get multiple weapons involved stands out. Game manager, an impressive pocket presence that will put him on a 53-man roster as a rookie.
And here's a little known secret. You talked about the experience that he had and the amount of games that he played in and the amount of reps that he got. He's only 22 years old.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So he still has some time left. He's actually out of my top 10 quarterbacks. It actually stretches to like top 15 or 16. He's the fourth youngest quarterback behind Caleb Williams, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy.
And he's got the size.
Who he beat in the Cotton Bowl,
yes,
by the way.
Did. Yeah.
Michael Pratt, Tulane. And he led a furious comeback to do it. I love him as a quarterback. I love his demeanor. I love the way he delivers the football. Tulane football has got so much better.
Mm-hmm.
They were a loss away to SMU this year, right? To getting back into one of those mm-hmm. New Year's Day Bowl things again for the second straight year. A lot of it has to do with Michael Pratt. He's an outstanding player. And when his name's called, he is of those guys. There's the Jordan Travises of Florida State. The one that's really intriguing to me, because at one time he was thought of as maybe a top 10 pick, is Sam Hartman at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what the hell happened there. And, you know, when you watch Wake Forest play with Hartman, they played in a really like an offense that really wasn't very conducive to his style. Very slow, read that kind of, and then pull the ball, throw it. But the downfield passing and all that, you watch him at Notre Dame. He you know, even though Notre Dame had a couple of really good offensive linemen, there's times where he's having to move around and do some things. I think Sam Hartman is one of those guys that nobody's talking about, but the talent is there. The athletic ability is there. The body type is there for what, you know, that he passes the eye test on all that stuff for me. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody takes him and then he turns into a quarterback that we see starts in NFL games, much like, and I'm going to say a Jimmy Garoppolo, but maybe a better version of that time. The pedigree with this guy is really, really strong. His end of his senior season wasn't that way for mm-hmm. what the type of talent that he has from Notre Dame.
With Jon Hartman.
I said that he won't win you a game, but he won't lose you one either.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very in the middle somewhere, I think.
Yeah, Wake Forest was, I mean, they've known for basketball and golf. They weren't known for football. And, like, he put Wake Forest on the map for some of the game. You know, there's some players we've seen from Wake Forest, but this kid, I mean, I'm surprised it didn't go as well for him at Notre Dame.
Yeah,
I am too. I'm really surprised that it didn't go better.
Well, the you mentioned top 10 pick at one point. I mean, the guy this year is Rattler.
Whenever you said yes. that,
I thought you were about to go with Spencer Rattler. I thought that because, I mean, that's I think scouts are going to love this kid. I think he's probably going to go in the third round. But he's got because everyone's looking like, okay, can I find Mahomes-like traits? Yep. Rattler's got that, right? The dude did not seem like a leader. He got rattled under pressure. The Oklahoma version that you saw get benched, and I got to be at that game against Texas where Caleb Williams had his coming out party, that's not a kid that you want. But you see the evolvement, the way that he's matured at South Carolina. And his tape last year is pretty darn good. I mean, when you're watching Xavier Leggett, there's some throws. Spencer Rattler's got all the talent in the world. I think it's more so the leadership, the intangibles that you want from a quarterback.
Size.
And some of the size. But I think some of that's like he can put up a little bit of weight. But I think the intangibles somewhat have been a question for me. But also the decision-making. Yeah. He will get himself in some trouble because he trusts his arm so much that he'll force some throws where it's like, what are you doing? Don't throw that, please. He's got a little bit of Favre in his game in that
what
way.
Are you doing?
I had put that he needs situational development.
Yes.
But somebody's going to take a flyer on him on day two.
Yeah.
I'm 100% confident in that.
I think that would shock me.
Yeah. One of these teams that does not it kind of misses out on that run of quarterbacks in the first round, is not able to make a trade happen to hop up in the top 15, they're going to go draft Rattler and let him compete. I'm almost certain of that. I think he could be a starter in this league. I don't know about rookie year, but I'm not going to put it past him. I think Rattler has really developed in his time at South Carolina. It's wild to kind of look at his journey because he was an unquestioned number one overall pick going into that season in Oklahoma, and then by the end of it, he was transferring out and a freshman was starting for the Sooners.
Yeah.
So to see him back in this situation, I think it kind of speaks to the adversity he's kind of overcome too.
Can we talk to speaking of adversity there, Jordan Travis, Florida State.
Yeah.
It's kind of a curious case of Jordan Travis. He was a top-notch player who had undefeated ties to Florida State, and then his injury was the reason that they were held out of the college football
playoff.
They were
the best. When you start to talk about the best teams I saw just watching college football on television,
yes,
Florida State every week was the best team in college football.
No doubt.
And that game where he got hurt, I get North Alabama or somebody, whoever he got hurt in that game, their season completely went sideways on them on that. And Jordan Travis, I mean, you're watching a running back. He hands the ball to a running back we love. He's throwing the ball to wide receivers we love. You know, they're winning games. And a lot of it is because of his ability to get these guys the ball. I know twice watching him play against LSU both years. I mean, it just stand in there and make throw after throw after throw on third down and find ways to move the football and get this team in the end zone. You know, unfortunately, we talk about the injury, you know, killed his season, killed his momentum. Kid's got a lot of ability.
Could be this year's Hendon Hooker, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you draft him, you stash him, and he could be your future starter down the road.
What's the details on the injury? Any updates?
To me, he was coming back to the medical recheck, so they've got that done. But I think he was going to be ready for training camp.
I think that was the last thing I heard.
Chitty bang bang.
Yeah, he's going to be ready.
That's the thing does it hurt his draft stock enough?
Man, I don't know how you don't watch the tape and see this guy's a really good player.
He's a hell of a player in the offense.
You can't help it, he got hurt.
Yeah, we talk about the offense. We've talked about the pieces that they have over there at FSU. I mean, he was facilitating that.
He was. Yeah, that's exactly right.
He was their
right.
point guard.
And this team, they went on to win games, but they won them in different ways. They won them with an elite defense and a stout running game is how they continued to go 13-0 and then was left out as an undefeated in the college football playoff. So my question to you is, without Jordan Travis, this team was still good enough to win. Does that hurt his draft process?
Well, what was the guy's name? Wanamaker or whoever the backup quarterback?
Tate Rotemaker, whatever.
Yeah.
When he went into the game, they couldn't move 10 feet.
No.
Yeah. You know, I mean, watching him play, I'm like, this looks like a complete. And I know he's not a veteran player. He was a young guy.
He's a backup.
Yeah. But this team was completely stymied in that game against Louisville. You know, I mean, I know they were dealing with a couple of quarterbacks and all that, but this guy, he got them to play at a really high level the years I watched him play. Like I say, twice against LSU, no chance against him both times.
Yeah. And he beat some pretty good teams, Clemson, LSU.
Yep, sure did.
He has the tape. He has the ability to go up there. It'll be interesting to see when a team wants to take a chance on him because it was a gruesome leg injury. It was not a pretty leg injury. So the medical checks will go a long way. You guys both mentioned Michael Pratt. What grade do you have on him? I was just curious.
I've got him in fourth.
Fourth round?
Third.
Fourth. I've got a third on him.
Yeah.
Fourth.
Yeah. Fourth round?
Early fourth.
Early fourth. He's
early fourth.
Really good player.
Tater tots.
Last put Rattler in the third. I mean, I'd probably take Pratt over him, but that's just me being biased.
I would take Pratt over Rattler myself. I don't think Nick would.
Money there.
I think it's just talent.
I love Pratt. I really do. I'd be cool with either of those guys. If you had to give me the option of one, I'm taking Rattler, but it's close. It's super close.
Taking
I like both of them.
I'm taking Pratt. I mean, again, I think the Spencer Rattler stuff, and I think players can get better. They can develop. They can. I'm talking about from a maturity standpoint. I'm talking about as a person, things that. Like that. But I think it's at that position, it's important to have a calm to you and all those things. So I still will be a little concerned about that. Michael Pratt plays with that.
I think consistency is for me. I think Pratt, I see more consistency. I think there's some games where Rattler, he looks like he's the second coming, and then the next game it's like it's a 49% passer.
You're gonna really hate me here. I think Rattler's ceiling is higher.
That's fair.
Yeah, it is.
Wait, if I didn't know any better, I would think you were talking about Drake May just now, but you talking about consistency.
You know what? If the Commanders are interested in Drake May, by all means, go for it.
Because there's games you watch him where you're like, oh, this dude can play. And then the next game, you're like, baby, what's wrong with you? Is your stomach hurting?
Yeah.
You need some Pedialyte?
Preach.
Gosh.
Preach.
Last name I want to throw out there really quickly, Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thank you.
Where don't you look going? At me. Don't look at me.
You guys know I don't. I'm not into Bo Nix.
Kyle being messy.
We haven't talked about Bo Nix.
I will say this, though. At Auburn, he was undraftable. At Oregon, he completely – the coaching there, the system, the players around him, the running back, the offensive line – He did a really nice job. You can watch him play against Washington. He made some tough throws.
He did.
And so you have to give – but the player that came from Auburn, there's no way I would touch.
He's just getting these Drew Brees comps.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's because he's going to end up in Denver.
If he does, then, hey, you're in a great place to succeed.
He's taller than Drew, too.
The toughness about him, the toughness –
You don't like Sean?
The toughness and the ability to throw on the move, I think, is good for him.
He could do it.
Yeah.
You could read about what Nick Harris says about Bo Nix in the DallasCowboys.com.
Such nice things.
You wrote about Bo Nix.
I was
going to
say, that was my position.
One read quarterback.
No wonder you said, what about Bo Nix? I said, wait, no.
Don't worry. You've got it all on the draft guide. All right. We'll be back on Thursday. It'll be our two-week out episode until the NFL draft.
It's crazy, man.
Getting close. For Zach Wolchuk, for Nick Harris, for Brian Broaddus, for Aisha Morris, and I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from the draft show. We will see you on Thursday.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!